From NPR News, this is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. The NAACP has weathered some damaging political storms recently, but this weekend, the civil rights group's board of directors chose a new president members hope will be able to lead them to calmer waters. Their choice, Bruce Gordon, represents a break with tradition. A former senior executive with telecom giant Verizon, Gordon brings to the table less ministerial presence and political authority than his predecessors, but more nuts and bolts business know-how. And some say that's exactly what the NAACP needs. Mr. Gordon joins us now. We thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about why you even considered taking this post first and foremost. I know your history in corporate America has been one that you've been in the fore of bringing blacks not only within your organization, but or I should say corporation at that time, Verizon, bringing blacks to the table, but helping them rise up the ladder. But why take on this challenge?
Well, I think it goes without saying that the NAACP is and has been for many, many years in the forefront of civil rights in this country. And I know that I would not be where I am today, would not have had the career that I had at Verizon if it were not for an organization like the NAACP. So at this point in my life, when they contacted me and identified me as one who might be equipped to help them move into the next phase of their history, I felt that I frankly had an obligation to step up and do whatever I could to make this organization successful.
Now, we should note that you are in what we call negotiation now, but there will be a confirmation vote during the organization's national convention in July, the 9th through the 15th, that would officially put you in this post. When you look at this situation, it is slightly different than corporate America, quite frankly. You're not going to be able to, as you did with Verizon, just go in and make wholesale changes. Oftentimes when people cross the line between the two, they have some difficulty. Are you ready for that?
It's very clear to me that this is a different kind of an operation, a different type of an organization than Verizon was. But there are certain things I think that still apply. For instance, there's got to be a first-class staff running the NAACP. And I spent time at Verizon learning how to identify talent, learning how, frankly, to weed out performers who didn't really meet the standards. So I think that those kinds of skills are transferable without question. I also recognize that the governance structure of the NAACP is very different than the traditional corporate governance structure. But I've always seen myself as having the ability to adapt, having the ability to build consensus. So I have every intention of working across the board of directors to make this organization function in what I like to refer to as an operational excellence way.
Do you believe there is a need for consensus building within the organizations? There have been whispers and, quite frankly, at times shouts that there have been over the course or there has been over the course of the last decade in particular, a lot of infighting, a lot of political wrangling that perhaps this organization does not need.
I think that consensus building is important when you have programs that you want to execute. I think that when you have an aligned vision, when you have a group of leaders who are all pursuing the same goal, that the likelihood of achieving those goals is greatly increased. I can't speak much about how the organization has functioned in the past, but I am very optimistic that I have the skills and that the attitude, if I can use that term, of the organization's leaders is such that they really want to work together. They really want to collaborate. They really want to function with a single mind and purpose. So I'm going to do everything in my power to make that happen.
Mr. Gordon, you know the problems that the organization has faced. We'll go through a couple of those. One of them, quite frankly, is that many people, I don't want to say many, some in the African-American community see the organization, frankly, as obsolete. What do you tell those people?
Well, if you look at the civil rights issues that existed 30, 40 years ago, there is no question that they are different today. And I think an issue that is on the minds of those people who maybe are maybe cynical or doubtful about the NAACP's relevance is that the organization has to address today's issues. So there's going to probably be some breaks from tradition in terms of how the organization functions. I'm going to make sure that we as a group listen to the communities of interest, understand what is top of mind for them, and put programs in place, pursue policy issues that are current, that are relevant. So this is a different time, and therefore the organization needs to function in a different way. And there's no question in my mind that that's doable.
Many people who applaud your appointment suggest that you understand corporate America, you understand the dollars and the workings that go on there, and that is what indeed this group needs. There are others who suggest that the NAACP and other civil rights organizations have been for too long beholden to corporate dollars to just function and survive. What do you say to that?
I'd say in the particular case of the NAACP, corporate dollars are not the lion's share of income or revenue that this organization depends upon. I am not at all concerned about corporate participation compromising the integrity of the NAACP. Let me be candid. I have every intention of building bridges to corporate America. I think that corporate America can benefit from the activities of the NAACP, and I think the NAACP can benefit from the resources that corporate America could send our way. So I intend to be a bridge builder between the organization and corporate America, but I have no concern about the ability of the organization to be independent in its thinking, to be focused on issues that are relevant. So I don't think we have to compromise our integrity in order to have a good relationship with corporate America.
The organization is going through an ongoing IRS audit. In fact, the organization could lose its tax-exempt status. How concerned are you about the audit, A, and B, what happens if indeed the status is lost?
I have not had the opportunity to really get into the specifics around the IRS audit, but from everything that I hear so far, I'm optimistic that this too shall pass, if I can use that phrase. I don't take lightly the fact that the IRS is involved, but I'm optimistic that at the end of the day, the facts will speak for themselves. They will find that the organization has not compromised itself, and we will get on with our lives.
Are you concerned about, and this has been spoken publicly and privately by many, that the board is just too large and there is too much territorial fighting between those who are on the board? I believe it's 64 members that sit on the board of directors. How problematic can that be, and what do you want to put in place to help smooth those waters?
I'm a glass half full kind of a guy, so if I look at the size of that board, one's natural instinct would be to say, how can you possibly govern with a 64-person board? On the other hand, you have to understand what that 64-person board represents. It represents a network of people who extend themselves into primary communities across this country. That, in fact, is one of the major assets of the NAACP, the fact that there are 500,000 volunteers who are operating in large metropolitan markets and small communities says to me that that can really be viewed as an asset. Will there be some challenges to try to get the 64-person board to get aligned around priorities for the organization? Of course. But I think that I've had enough experience, frankly, even in the not-for-profit sector. I've served on the boards of, for instance, of the Albanelli Dance Company. This is a company that is performing extremely well, and its board is 40-plus people. So one could argue that that's a large board, too, but if you look at all of our results at Albanelli, they are superb. So fair question. Sure, it's a big board, but I'm going to find a way, working with Chairman Bond and those board members, to be effective in achieving what we're trying to get done.
With about a minute left, Mr. Gordon, let me ask you, and I believe these thoughts come from people that don't know your background, but there are media reports that suggest that your appointment, and this is, again, whispers from some, suggests a shift to the right for this organization. Address that for me.
I don't view this as a shift to the right at all. I view this as an organization, a search committee, an executive committee, a board that have looked at the needs of the organization and simply said, what skills, what talent, what perspective do we need at the head of the NAACP to take ourselves into the next decade? And it turns out that my skills are that. I don't represent a political point of view. And I don't intend to come into the organization's role as its leader with a political bias. My belief is that in order for us to be successful, we've got to be bipartisan. I believe that we need to have support from both blue states and red states, if I can use that phrase. Sure. But is this a shift in direction? I don't think so at all.
All right. Well, Bruce Gordon, we want to thank you for your time today. We greatly appreciate it. And soon to be official president and chief executive officer of the NAACP come the group's national convention that will happen July 9 through 15. We appreciate your time and hope you'll join us again very soon.